Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
It means the world to me to know that there are people across the country who include Jill and me in their prayers.
To the critical theory people, Martin Luther King's statement about dreaming that his children would be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, that's not accepted.
We need training and discipline in our sanctified life. We need to do the right thing, even if we don't feel like it.
It's not as if we can coerce God by having more and more and more people praying for the same things.
If we want to follow after Luther, that means we're opening our Bibles and we're reading it.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
The headline in the New York Times reads, German Catholic priests defy Rome to offer blessings to gay couples. Not only priests, but more than one bishop. Over 100 Roman Catholic parishes in Germany yesterday blessed same-sex unions over against the Pope's admonition that such things were not possible. They simply said it is not possible for Christ to bless sin. Is this a prelude to schism in the Roman Catholic Church, at least with the German wing of the Roman Catholic Church? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Uwe Simonetto, a native of Germany, will be joining us to talk about the blessing of same-sex couples by more than 100 Roman Catholic parishes in Germany. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He's a former religion editor for United Press International. He's founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Other Modern Myths. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
How do you explain the willingness of over 100 Roman Catholic parishes to deny Pope Francis' March 15th decree forbidding the blessing of same-sex unions?
It simply means that the Roman Catholic Church is not immune to the zeitgeist. And the zeitgeist in Germany, as in much of the Western world, is totally out of sync with what we Roman Catholics or otherwise what we Christians consider sound creation theology.
Is the morality of homosexuality in any sense an open question in Roman Catholic teaching?
Well, it's in Roman Catholic teaching, and it shouldn't be. It isn't. But it is an open question in the Roman Catholic Church in some parts of Europe, as in some parts of the United States. The Pope is walking a very fine line there. But at the moment, you actually see something in the Catholic Church in Germany, as elsewhere in Europe, that resembles a break.
What do you make of the fact that the Vatican had no comment yesterday on the blessing of these same-sex union ceremonies?
Clearly, the Pope doesn't want to aggravate the situation, but it's a very temporary move. Ultimately, you have to respond to this because the 100 Roman Catholic parishes in Germany, for blessing same-sex unions are only the start.
What do you mean by that they're only the start?
Well, I think we're heading for a schism. We're heading for a schism of part of the Roman Catholic Church, between part of the Roman Catholic Church that will remain Orthodox, and another part that will closely resemble the follies of the Protestant Church in Germany, including the Lutherans. the zeitgeist, which is pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, actually anti-Christian, has taken root in the Roman Catholic Church in Germany. But is this still a Catholic Church? Is it still a church? That's another question.
Being a native of Germany, what's your perspective? How do you think it got to this point?
Well, it's got to this point, I think, as a result of liberalism in theology, but not only in theology, in public life. In Germany, let me maybe give you an example. In Germany, the Green Party, which is growing in Germany and might well actually present the next German chancellor, a woman, the Green Party, the large parts of the Green Party even want the next government to remove the name Deutschland, Germany, from everything related to the country or related to the government or related to green policies. Everything that has anything to do with what we believed in the past. I mean, no other nation, the Americans wouldn't say, well, we remove the word America. But in Germany, Germany, as we all know, belongs on a collective bench of a psychiatrist's office, which is all the aftermath of World War II of the Nazis. And they think they can slink out of their responsibilities or links to the Holocaust by dismissing everything that was traditional in their eyes, in German eyes. So the beginning was, of course, the 1968 movement at the universities. That's where everything was dismissed. Even the graduation ceremonies at universities were abandoned. All this to make Germany to remove the new Germans from their link to the German past, good or bad. There were wonderful traditions in Germany, and of course, then there was Nazi. And if they think that they can dismiss everything. The 68 movement, which has only been vaguely followed here in the United States, has destroyed the very fiber of Germany. And we are still here linked to our Nazi past. And I hate to say this, Americans are not helping things, or the West and the film industry. I watched films here on BBC films on national public television. And it's always about Germans as linked to the Nazis. This will not go away by abandoning faith statements of the entire Christianity, or by abandoning the name Deutsch for German. It will continue, quite to the contrary, by abandoning these beliefs and by abandoning the secular links to the past, like universities, like education, like music, etc., etc., etc. What do you have? You have one thing. The world knows that there's been a Holocaust and the Germans committed it, and therefore all the Germans have to offer is the Holocaust, because they themselves abandon what has made Germany great in the past. And obviously the orders of creation taught by Christian churches are very much part of the fiber of the German culture and civilization. So, I mean, you have to see all this in this context. Now, the Pope Francis tries his very best to delay these things, but I think ultimately the break will come, and ultimately you will have in Germany a pretty large liberal so-called Catholic Church, which is neither Catholic nor Christian anymore. And then you will have, obviously, a remnant of true Christianity in the Roman Catholic Church, as in the Protestant Church. I mean, this is indeed a revolution with potentially dire consequences, but we have to go through this.
Is it any coincidence that these liberalizing tendencies, be it in the Roman Catholic Church or in other church bodies, are usually found in developed countries. In the case of Germany, one of the richest countries in Europe, highly secularized countries.
Yes, of course, there's a link. Let me give you an example. I was in hospital for more or less 2 months because of COVID. And just at the beginning, when I was about to almost die, I had a nurse from Kenya. And the Kenya woman came in the middle of the night to my room to sit by my bedside after several of my neighbors in neighboring rooms had died. I mean, everybody, it was a horrific scene. So we prayed together, and then I said, well, I asked her, do you go home to Kenya once in a while? She said, yes, I go every year, and I go for 2 months. And the reason why I go to Kenya for 2 months is that I want to bathe in this vibrant return to Christianity, especially of the Kenyan or East African youth. She said it is so invigorating to be there. So that was the reason. So you have all this. You have not just she was Catholic, but this could, the same could be said for the Lutherans. The Kenyan Archbishop, Lutheran Archbishop, is one of the leaders of a renewed, vibrant Christianity in East Africa. And this applies to virtually all of the lesser developed countries. In Germany, everything that has to do with Christianity or religion is dead because the people have lived too well. So they think they can discard everything that made them strong in the past. It's a folly beyond belief, but I think we have to go through this phase. And if you look at what is coming to Germany, there is a renewal, but it doesn't necessarily come from Germans. It comes from immigrants.
I want to talk about that a little bit later. In the meantime, when the Catholic Catechism calls homosexual behavior intrinsically disordered, what does that mean?
Well, I read it as if it violates the orders of creation.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the orders of creation is man. God created man, and God created a woman, and God created them for certain purposes, to love each other, men and women, and not in all forms, but also, of course, sexually. But he did not create a form of sexual narcissism that we see in homosexuality. That is not a part of the order of creation. You are created husband and wife, but not husband and husband. So it is intrinsically disordered. To the homosexual behavior is intrinsically disordered because all the orders of the creation are being dismissed by this movement within the church and without the church, outside the church.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about the blessing of same-sex couples by more than 100 Roman Catholic parishes in Germany. Is it because, at least in part, Pope Francis is perceived as a weak pope?
The truth is, I never turn away any customers. I just sometimes have to decline to create cakes that violate my faith, and that was the case in this.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
The two gentlemen that sued me were welcome in my shop that day. I told them, you know, I'll sell you cookies, brownies, birthday cakes, you know, anything else, custom cakes. It's just that I can't create this one because this is a cake that goes against the core of my faith. And they sued me. But I serve everybody who comes in the shop. They're just cakes that I can't create because of the message they portray.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org.
your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org. Thanks to Kevin in Brookfield, Illinois, Ron in Noblesville, Indiana, Rebecca in Crete, Illinois, for recently joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. They'll be receiving Pastor Will Whedon's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other Reformation Club benefits. For more information on joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit the support donate page at issuesetc.org or call Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Pentecost Day, May 23rd, and receive They Shall Never Perish by Pastor Will Whedon. We're talking about the blessing of same-sex couples by more than 100 Roman Catholic parishes in Germany. Dr. Uwe C. Minetto is our guest. Do you think it is in part the boldness of these German congregations spurned by the fact that they perceive Francis to be a weak pontiff, unable or unwilling to discipline congregations or priests?
No, I think that's not the reason. The reason of Germany's boldness is that, as I explained to you earlier on, that by being so modern and so progressive, they feel they can separate themselves from the burden of guilt or shame created by Nazism. It has all this is linked together. The whole folly of what you observe in Germany, and it's going to get worse, is linked to this thing that the Germans want to put the Nazi stuff behind them. They don't want to be called the bad boys and the reactionaries. And then they dismiss not only the Nazi past, but they also dismiss everything in the past, including, of course, their culture, their faith, their intellectual superiority, and all that. If you think that in the 19th century, Germany was the leading nation in education in the world, that American universities, top American universities, like the University of Chicago or Harvard, Yale, were patterned after the German example. And all this is, of course, gone. It is all linked to the Nazi past. It is not understood in America how much this has the Nazism and the aftermaths have destroyed this German soul. And this is German, whether it's Catholic or Lutheran, it doesn't matter. It is simply a dreadful, dreadful consequence of the Nazi past. And then, of course, the reaction in the rest of the world, who blame all Germans for what the Nazis have done, and therefore that it is intrinsically German to kill other people, to be illiberal vis-a-vis other tribes, other nations, other races, other religions, etc., etc., etc. And so now we have this. I don't think it doesn't matter how strict or unstrict the Pope is. This Pope is trying to hold together what cannot be held together.
In that vein, Uwe, you mentioned earlier that you think that these actions are, in some sense, a prelude to schism. Talk more about that.
Well, there must be a... this movement is very strong. There are others who might not agree with it, but who are not particularly interested in churchly things. On the other hand, there will always remain a core of faithful Christians in the Roman Catholic Church in Germany. And these two don't match. They cannot, there will be a break. There will be a break. There has to be a break. And the Pope is trying to delay it. The Pope is trying to, is hoping, I think against hope, that this can be repaired and that there can be some form of reconciliation between the follies of the liberal new church, like those 100 parishes that you mentioned in the beginning, and of course the core church. But the church is shrinking. To me, it's logical. I can't see it any other way. You cannot have unite truth and untruth under one roof. The Pope knows it. And, of course, Benedict saw this, presumably, and this is why he resigned. He didn't feel strong enough to... And of course, there are other problems within the Catholic Church, as we all know, and especially in Germany. There is the legacy of the same of the sexual abuse scandals that are still haunting the Catholic Church in Germany, because I mean more and more and more and more cases are being dug up, and some bishops foolishly try to hide all these facts and try to stow away the results of the research into these crimes, and then it comes out, and the next thing is that a new wave of troubles flops over the Catholic Church in Germany. It is a dire situation, and so now we have again, you have the sexual abuse thing on one thing, and now the liberal church comes in and says, well, you know, forget all this. We allow this, that, and the other. And, of course, as for the rest, the crimes committed by Catholic priests, because by dismissing everything Catholic, we also dismiss this scandal, blemishes of on the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, this is a very, very large problem. I personally believe, of course, that... the church is under attack by the Antichrist, and this is all part of the Antichrist's action. I cannot see it interpreted any other way. There were obviously scandals in the past in the Christian church, but nothing of this sort has ever become public. Of course, there were no media in the past of the sort of size we have today. And, you know, if you... The main attack on Christianity in Germany is by people who want to have worldly standards applied to the Roman Catholic or to the Christian Church, which doesn't work, of course.
You said that there's a bright side religiously in Germany in the form of immigrants. Tell us about that.
There's a growing number of Christians in Germany from, say, Eastern Orthodoxy, the Oriental churches. You have the Coptic Church, Egyptian Coptic Church. They have a bishop general or vicar general in Germany who speaks and preaches in wonderful German and is well listened to throughout Germany. And they are very Orthodox, okay? That's one thing. There is something more going on. For example, because of the conversion of Farsi speakers, both Persian and Afghan, to Christianity, you by now have more Farsi-speaking Christians in Germany than Muslims, than Farsi-speaking Muslims. and it's growing. It's all, and that in turn radiates over to their home countries, specifically in to Iran or Persia, where which is of course the most anti-Christian country in that part of the world, but which internally experiences a huge wave of conversions from within, of course helped by missionaries at great risk to themselves from the outside, including Missouri Synod Lutherans from Uzbekistan, for example, is one of the countries where they operate out of. But the thing is that the new Christians in Germany, and of course the missionary Christians in Germany, are often non-German natives. I mean, they might by now be, many of them have become German citizens. And these churches are vibrant. I mean, there is one little example. When I was in hospital, my pulmonologist came to visit me, and she's a Lebanese. And then I said, "Well, what church do you belong to?" And he said, "Well, I'm an Antioch Christian, Antioch Orthodox." Now, this is one of the five original churches. This one was founded by St. Peter, and they celebrate their Mass in Aramaic, as the language Jesus has spoken. So then I researched, and I found that the Aramaic Antioch Orthodox Church in Germany is very active. They have, they're small, but they attract attention. Their church services are well attended, and they pray in Jesus' language. So what this means for future centuries cannot be predicted, but I would suggest that it might have a huge influence on the Germans. So I think that those who fall away from false Christianity, as the ones these 100 Christian 100 Roman Catholic parishes that we mentioned, the counter movement comes from without Germany, but taking root in Germany. If you had my a friend of mine, a pastor from the Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, on your programs. What happens there is that the Farsi speakers, he has converted now 1,400 or 1,500 Persians and Afghans to Christianity over the years, helped them in there. You go to this church, and they sing Lutheran hymns joyfully, proudly, and it takes an hour to commune them because there are so many of them in this church. The same thing you find elsewhere. You find in Germany whole areas, like, for example, in my hometown of Leipzig, where Farsi speakers who became Lutheran Christians are now working among in the German slums of Leipzig, of eastern Leipzig, and of course they teach the children there. They're the first ones to teach them Christianity. This is a fabulous development. It might not be general, but it is throughout Germany nonetheless that this whole thing is happening. And you find, for example, I watch almost every Sunday the service of the Independent Lutheran Church in Dresden, which worships in a very beautiful sanctuary they had rented. They had taken over for €1 a year, but for the rest of time from the state-related Lutheran Church. Now these powerful services, they read scriptures, they read the prayers in German and in Farsi. Even on television, you can get that on YouTube. this is a phenomenal impact this has on German Christianity, because again, this is not something that will ultimately falter, like, for example, the pro-Nazi German Christian Church in World War II, which, of course, has disappeared with the collapse of Germany, and rightly so. You know, these 100 Roman Catholic parishes, they see themselves as progressive, but ultimately, of course, will falter and will disappear when the zeitgeist has moved on. Whereas the core Christianity will remain, even though it is returning to Germany from immigrants, which is why I told you this on earlier programs, why I have no problem really with the immigration of masses of Middle Easterners, many of whom might be Muslims, but they're also willing to convert. It's there. I mean, you have to see this as a pendulum, and ultimately pendulum stops at the original faith. But this doesn't work over periods of years or decades. It goes over centuries.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He is a former religion editor for United Press International and founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker will be with us on the other side of the break to teach a Sunday school lesson on King Josiah in 2 Kings 22. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
St. Mark Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas is proud to support Issues Etc. Join us for worship and Bible study. If you're in Waco for business, college, traveling through the city, looking for a great place to retire, or searching for a church to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness, then visit St. Mark, a century-old Christ-centered Lutheran congregation in the heart of Waco, very near the silos. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Visit us at stmarkwaco.com.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu.